This morning, I'm preaching a message entitled Welcome to Kadesh Barnea. Welcome to Kadesh Barnea. What exactly is Kadesh Barnea? What happened in Kadesh Barnea? Welcome. Because I believe that prophetically, as a church, and for many of us, we are in the place called Kadesh Barnea. And this is very strategic. Because it's a defining place. It's a place that when you get to, you either enter in or you are kept out. It's a place that can define an entire destiny, an entire life, an entire future. So it's so strategic. And God is calling us to that place to note what happened there so that we do not repeat the mistakes of those who did not make it at that point. There's something happening to us in church this year that we have never really had before. This is the first time we're having two major conferences in 1 year. We have not had it. We've had one, but not two. And I was wondering, Lord, why? And what was coming to my spirit is this, that God is calling the church into developing greater spiritual capacity. To develop capacity, because there are some things you can't handle without capacity. God is calling us to maturity. He's calling us to capacity, developing capacity in Him, so that you'll be able to release this in the days to come. Can we all do this? Not all of us have done that. Do like this. How can my only single voice be louder than all of us? It means you're not doing it well. Now, go. What does that mean? Lord. Now say after me, Lord. Increase my capacity to receive, to retain, and to release in the days to come. Again, Lord, increase my capacity to receive from you, to retain what I've received, and then to be able to release them in the days to come. Numbers 13. Numbers chapter 13. From verse 1. And the Lord spoke to Moses, saying, send men to spy out the land of Canaan, which I'm giving to the children of Israel. From each tribe of their fathers, you shall send a man, everyone a leader amongst them. So Moses sent them from the wilderness of Paran, according to the command of the Lord, all of them who were heads of the children of Israel. Now these were their names: from the tribe of Reuben, Shuma, the son of Zakkur; from the tribe of Simeon, Shaphat; from the tribe of Judah, Caleb; from the tribe of Issachar, Igal; from the tribe of Ephraim, Hoshea or Joshua, the son of Nun; from the tribe of Benjamin, Palti; from the tribe of Zebulun, Gadi, and the rest of it. The names, verse number 16. These are the names of the men whom Moses sent out to spy out the land. And God called Hoshea, the son of Nun, Joshua. Then Moses sent them out to spy out the land of Canaan and said to them, go up this way into the south, go up to the mountain and see what the land is like. whether the people who dwell in it are weak, few or many, whether the land they dwell in is good or bad, whether the cities they inhabit are like camps or strongholds, whether the land is rich or poor, whether there are forests there or not, be of good courage and bring some of the fruit of the land. Now the time was the season of the first ripe grapes. My first question to you is this: who sent them out to spy the land? Verse number one. Let's go back there. So Moses sent them out. Now the Lord spoke to what? Moses sent men to spy out the land of what? Canaan. So who sent them out to spy out the land? The Lord spoke to them to go and spy out the land. Who sent them out to spy out the land? God spoke to Moses. And Moses said, go ahead and what? Spy out the land. Who sent them out? Moses. But who instructed Moses? So who actually sent them out to spy out the land? God sent them out to spy out the land. Number two, at this point, the Bible says they were in the wilderness of Paran. Paran is actually the place called Kadesh Barnea. I'll give you the background story to this. Kadesh Barnea is actually the border of the promised land. God promised the nation of Israel their own land. That is why there's nothing that can be done to remove Israel from the Middle East. Because the land was given to them from the very beginning by God. Oh yes, maybe they've also acquired more. But to be very honest with you, God did not give them a particular point. He left it open for them to the extent that you're able to go. There's no limitation to the extent that you can go in God. I said there's no limit. That is why in heaven there's no limitation. In heaven there's no hindrance. There's no impossibility. There's no limit. You are the one that will determine which level you are able to go. If you want to settle at this level, God is not going to force you. He doesn't force anyone. But if you want to go further, God will say, come on, let's go. Come on, let's go. He will take you and then he will lead you further and further. But you know their history. They were in Egypt for 400 what? Years. They were not in Egypt for 400 years. They were told they would be there for 400 years. They were actually there for how many years? 430 years. They spent more than they were supposed to spend. But eventually they were delivered from Egypt. They left Egypt with pomp and pageantry. They were delivered by the mighty hand of God. They were going by God. Oh, they were being led by God to the land that he had promised them. They left Egypt by the word of the Lord. And he led them through the wilderness by his spirit. Through the pillar of cloud during the day and the pillar of fire during the night. Those things are representation of the spirit. And they are principles for us today. To walk with God, you need his word. And then also what? His spirit. Because there are things about you that are clearly written in the word of God. The instructions are clearly written in the word, but there are things that are not clearly written. So you need the Holy Ghost to guide you, to direct you, to lead you, and show you what you need to do. For example, things that are clearly written, to walk in love, to walk in obedience, they are clearly written. To walk in what God has promised you, they are clearly written. Giving is clearly written. Praying is clearly written. Fasting is clearly written. But there's no way in scriptures that you'll find, Chris, on the 24th of September, you will marry Rebecca. It's not there. It's not there. Did you find it there? It's not there. But do you know what? When they came to me, I asked them, why have you decided to marry Rebecca? Why? Why did you make the decision? to marry her. And he said, I felt in my heart that this woman is the person for me. I asked her the same question. And all of us who have gone through counseling with me, I will ask you. You won't just come and say, this is the woman. And I'll say, hey, okay, oh, she looks beautiful. The two of you fit. Okay, walk now. Let me see how you walk. No. I'm not going to do that. I'm going to ask you, why did you decide to do that? Why? Because marriage is not convenience. It's covenant. The moment you say this is the man, the moment you say this is the woman, it simply means that in good or bad, in sickness or disease, when things are going on well and things are not going on well, you will stand by one another. Oh, yes, I will not marry you if I notice that this one will pack bags and run at the slightest trouble. Oh, no, I won't do that. I'm going to, oh, yes, ask them how I sat down with them. I challenged Chris. And sometimes I know he will have walked and said, Pastor, he's a hard man. Oh, yes, it's important that he walks out like that by wanting to be a stronger man for the person that he wants to marry. I want him to be there for her. I want, and what? At the marriage, I asked him to do something. I said, carry, you've been telling me. He said, yes, I love him. Yes, I can. Pastor will be there. Okay, carry her. Show me whether you can do it. It's just a physical demonstration, but it's symbolic and prophetic. Carry, and he did like this. Oh, carry her. And she said, yes, we're on the same page. It's important because marriage is under attack. The family is under attack. It's so important that the families are strong, our marriages are strong. Going back to Kadesh Barnea, going back to what we're saying, he was convinced, he felt in his heart, he believed it was something that God has put in his heart to marry her, and likewise the same thing. So it's important that you walk by his word and by his spirit. God gave them the promise, I will give you the land. He led them through the after leaving Egypt, by the pillar of cloud in the day and the pillar of fire in the night. And now they are at the border to enter into the fullness of their promise, to start to enjoy everything that God has spoken to them. It was time for the realization. It was time to walk in and become partaker of the promise of God. And do you also know, I've spoken to us before, and I know it, the first few years of this ministry, they are years of establishment, where the roots are going down. When the roots are going down, you don't see so much. Things are happening that you probably will not, because when you are walking inwards, nothing seems to be happening. On the outside, You are not seeing a lot of the fruit because it was not time for the fruiting to start to come. So God, the way God works is this. God will always allow your root to go down and then you will now what? Grow up. God does not work. It is human beings who think that the moment you just start like this, then you start to go up. And if there's anything like that, it's not really of God. Some work must have been done. Some labors must have transpired. Some sacrifices must have been made. Because God is a God of process. There's a time that he will be working on you, preparing you for that which he has prepared for you. If you are not prepared for that which he has prepared for you, when you get to that point, you will fail. So he's preparing them. So it was at that point that they got to. At this place called Kadesh Barnea. It was the border of the promised land. There's something about border. Border will either keep you out or will what? Or keep you in. The border. The reason why when you get to the border, you must show the reason why you must be allowed to pass. Is because borders are there to keep people out and keep people in. You can't just walk in. So it was at that point that they got to, for them to now step in, and then all of this started. And God said to them, go and spy tell Moses to send men to spy out the land. But was it God? Was it God that said that to them? It was Moses that said that to them. God instructed Moses. Because of what? That is why it's good to be at the Bible study. And some of us who were there had even forgotten. And those of us who were there, some of us are remembering, because I mentioned it last week, that the original idea about spying the land was never God. God did not send them out to spy. But why did he do this? He eventually allowed them, because there's something that man has that God cannot take away. It's called your free will. It's called your free will. But where did the idea come from? And that is why I said something also on Tuesday. It's so important to know the ways of the Spirit. Because when you know the ways of the Spirit, knowing the ways of the Spirit is getting to know the character of the Father. So when some things are happening, or maybe you are seeing a vision, or maybe you are seeing a revelation, or maybe you are seeing some, the moment is out of character, you know this is not God. But if you don't know, you just see the thing happening. You just think, okay, because I saw a vision, then it must be God. Because I had a dream, it must be God. Not necessarily. You need to check all spirits. So where did the idea come from? Where did the idea come? God had already given them the word. The word is there. I have a land for you. It's flowing with milk and honey. Where did it come from? It came from them. They were not willing to trust the word of God. The moment they entered into unbelief, God said, okay, I told you about the land because I had already spied out the land for you. I'd gone ahead of you. The land is like this. It's flowing with milk and honey. Trust me. Believe me. But do you know what? Don't blame them too much, because we also have the same problems. How many times is it that it's so difficult for you to believe God's word? How many times? God said to them, go and spy out the land. Because the people came to him and said, they came to Moses and said, no, let us go first. So that when we see, we were going to believe. Seeing is not believing in God. You believe, and then you see. Because God is a faithless, the nature of the Father. God is challenging us to believe him, even though we have not seen. But why is that? I want to see. I will show you why that is so important. First of all, let me prove to you why it was not from God. Deuteronomy chapter 1, verse 22. And 9, verse 23. Quickly. Deuteronomy 1, 22. And every one of you came near to me, that's Moses, and said, let us send men before us. Let them search out the land for us. And bring what? And bring back word to us of the way by which we shall go up, and of the cities into which we shall come. Every one of them came to Moses and said, send men, let us send us to go and see it. So the idea was not God, the idea was from them. Deuteronomy chapter 9, verse 23. 9:23. Look at it. 9:23. Likewise, when the Lord sent you from Kadesh Barnea, remember Kadesh Barnea, saying, go up and possess the land which I've given you. Then you rebelled against the commandment of the Lord, your God, and did not believe him nor obey his word or his voice. When they got to Kadesh Barnea, they didn't believe him. They didn't obey his voice. They said, send men, let us go and see first before we believe. and they send men to go ahead and see. Remember, Kadesh Barnea is what? Is the border to the promised land. The meaning of Kadesh. Kadesh means holy. Barnea means wilderness of wandering. Kadesh means what? Holy. Barnea means. So at that point, they had two choices. Barnea means wilderness of wandering. They had two choices. Either to lean to God's holy word or to follow their flesh. They had a choice to make between the spirit and the flesh. And they chose the flesh because they wanted to what? See. And they went and they saw. And they saw that the land was flowing with milk and honey. They saw that there were big magnets there, fruits there. But at the same time, they also saw the giants. Do you know the reason why God doesn't tell you everything from the beginning? So that some things, if you are told, will scare you. He wants you to walk with him, trusting him. So developing your faith, developing your capacity, so that by the time you get to that point, you are strong enough to handle it. But if you are shown the thing from when you are at this level, and you saw, you will run back. But God says, no. Many times, you know what he does? He will show you this place. The end point that is so good and beautiful. The end point that is looking wonderful. And you say, wow, I've seen the big God is going to do this for me. I'm telling you, God is going to do this. But he will have omitted this one and this one and this one. Not because it's hiding anything from you, because you are not ready for it yet. And now, he says, you just trust me. You don't need to see these ones now. Trust me. And as you walk with him, you develop strength. Have you noticed that in the natural, they don't give you Pythagoras theorem to learn or to solve in kindergarten? They won't give that to you until you get to a particular stage. You get to year 7, year 8, year 9. You are ready for it now. Then we can start to discuss Pythagoras theorem. Because if they give you in kindergarten, you run away. You won't stay there. It's too much. I don't know what they're saying. But they went there and they saw the giants. They saw the Anakites. They saw the Jebusites. They saw the Amalekites. They saw them there. They saw the devils and the demons. Some of them are very, what? Very scary. And they run. They say, hey. Lord, you said the land is flowing, but we also saw demons there. Well, they also saw these ones there. And it was, God could almost be telling them, I didn't want you to go spy out the land. Because this battle is not by power. By mind, all I'm asking you for is to trust me and to obey me. So that, because if you see those things, you'll be distracted. They will take your eyes away from me. And there are people today who have been distracted. Distracted, and they're not able to enter into. And do you know what? The Lord said this to me. He said the challenge with them was actually their heart. Their heart. Because they kept on looking back even before they got to that point. They kept at the moment there's a slight problem, slight challenge, they're looking back to Egypt. Looking to the onions of Egypt. Looking, or they're either blaming God or complaining or doing everything. Their heart was completely wrong. So by the time they got to that final point, they were not prepared for it at all. The heart of the matter is always the matter of the heart. The New Testament is about the heart. And that is why those of us who are being called into the kingdom now, God is not just giving us the covenant in tablets of stone. Now he's writing it in the hearts. So that God can fellowship with you in the heart and start to prepare you in the heart. It's about the heart, and the heart condition will reveal your attitude. Many people have gone into offense. They've gone into all of that. And the reason is because of this is the heart. The moment you've gone into, you know, things will happen. Can I be very honest with you? Can I be very honest with you, Chris and Rebecca? There will be time that there will be challenges. There will be time that you will disagree. But you disagree and you what? But you don't disagree and remain what? Because in your heart is the love for one another and the love of God. But when there's a problem with our hearts, and that is where the word of God comes. You know the reason why he gives us the word? The word has been given to us to start to work on our hearts, reshape us on the inside. So by the time we get to any particular stage in our work with him, we're already prepared. Instead of us to fall apart under the weight of the challenge, get offended, get into this, because our heart has been prepared, we say, no, we're not going to yield to the flesh. I'm rather going to yield to the spirit. Kadesh means holy. Barnea means wilderness of what? Wandering. They could have yielded to what? The spirit, the holiness of God, the word of God, the counsel of God. Rather, they yielded to the flesh. And the journey from Kadesh, from Egypt to Kadesh Barnea was just how many days? To the promised land was just 11 days. By the time they got to the border, they started doing what? The moment they yield to the flesh, they now started, instead of them to do like this, enter in, they began like this. And they continued for the next 40 years. Because there are things that will keep you bound. Offense will keep you bound. Ignorance will keep you bound. And those things, don't learn to forgive one another. When things happen, forgive and move on. Don't hold anything. Don't hold anything in your heart against one another. Are you listening to me? Sit down and forgive and sort it out. If you need counsel, make sure you talk to someone that will be able to, not necessarily me, but someone who is spiritual and who will be able to pray for you. Not and pray with you. Not someone, that is what he's been doing to you. Did you know what I had yesterday? No. Is the person praying? Is the person going to stand with you in prayers and help to push the issue? Because we need, there's some things you will not be able to handle on your own. And that is why I never recommend that anything that happens, don't just keep it between the two of you. Sometimes you need to shout out. Sometimes you need to talk. But don't just go and talk to somebody who encourage you in the flesh. Because what will happen is that you just turn, instead of you to enter into the promise, you just keep on going like this. You just start the journey. Start the journey. And suddenly, what should just cause you to enter into the promise begins is a journey of 40 years. You'll be going round and going round and going round and going round. Going round. Dear friends, it's so important for us. There's a call that is so clear to us in this place. It's a call to the spiritual life. It's a call to the deeper life in God. Not walking in the flesh. It is so sad that majority of believers, and I'm not just talking about our church. I'm talking about the church national, the church global. It is about the flesh. Many don't know their God. And if you don't know God, you cannot be strong and do exploits. There are wonderful things ahead of us. There are wonderful things ahead of you.
But these things are in the spirit. And we need to connect with him so that we can bring them down. You know the reason why Satan wants us to continue in the flesh? Because as long as you're in the flesh, he will continue to dominate you. As long as you're in the flesh, you are in his arena. And he's the God of this world. He will dominate you. I'm telling you, you are living in offense, you are walking in offense, and you think it's okay. It is not okay. You are in big trouble. You have already yielded to him. You already entered his arena. And you say, welcome, my dear, to this arena. And there becomes what? Juju, a juju, a juju, a juju. That's why you can't afford those things. Ignorance also is not a good area, because ignorance, it will dominate you. Satan is not a good devil. Do you know that? And he's not a good devil. Don't allow those things. When he comes and whispers and say, get out in Jesus' name. I'm not going to receive that. And sometimes when he sends a very good person to come and say, some of us are very nice and say, okay. But sometimes I'm telling you, it's better to just walk away and say, I'm not going to listen to all of that. In the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, you have a destiny. You have a place you are going. You want to enter into the promised land. In the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, are you listening to me? Are you listening to me? Are you listening to me? To me, it's so important that you are strong, that we are strong. God has called the church to be strong, not just the pastor to be strong, called the church to be strong. God has called us, you know, something happened to us yesterday night. Somebody walked up into our home without invitation at about past 10, and he came in like this and challenged me. And I said, what is this? And I faced him. And we faced each other. Thank God for my wife, who is a spiritual person. And by the time she walked in and she saw what was happening, the two of us started praying in the Holy Ghost. Supposing she was not, if he was not strong enough, if I would probably just be the only person facing it, you know, but she came in and joined forces with me, added her strength to my strength, and we confronted it. We confronted that person. It wasn't just about the person, it was about the demon that was speaking through him, and demon that was speaking through the person, and we confronted it. Supposing she was not, she was, or whatever is happening, she would have exposed me. I would have been the only one fighting the battle. But the two of us joined together, and we started saying, Rima keliba baba kente liba, oru mama shelima kente liba, ori baba baba kente, elima baba baba kente liba. So on. In the same way, the person walked in with the bag. He just said, the person tried to say, he said, yeah, he couldn't speak. He just carried the bag. He just said, yes, I'm going. I said, yes, go in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Go! In the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. That's why it's important that you are strong. We were not told that the person would be coming. It was not announced to us. Suddenly he showed up and the battle began. But we were ready and we were prepared. So we won it. The test became a testimony. Why? Because we were prepared. It was a test that became a testimony. And I want to thank God. Do you know what? Oh, one of my daughter was also there, and she also joined, and we all started praying in the spirit. One person will chase 1,000, two will chase 10,000. Oh, and we shifted the devil. We pushed him back. We sent him packing. It's the same thing over your life. When we engage in battle, when we engage in situation, there are things trying to keep you away from your promised land. Kadesh Barnea will not be a tombstone for you. It will be a stepping stone, not a tombstone. It was a tombstone for many of the children of Israel because they yielded to the spirit. Yielded to the flesh, not the spirit. You will yield to the spirit, and the test will become a testimony in your life. The challenges will become what? A testimony. That mess will become a miracle. That test will become a testimony. That mess will become a message. And that mystic will become a miracle. Even though you have made a mistake, it's time to yield to the Spirit. not continue to yield in the flesh. Or else, you want to start a 40-year journey going around in circles. That is not your lot and your portion. Rise upon your feet.